symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
As cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man. I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world. I make my own rules because it's much easier that way. Trust me.
What's up, everybody? It's Marcus D'Angelo, and we are back for another episode of The Snake Pit. And of course, you know I couldn't do it without the man himself, the Hall of Famer, master of the DDT, AEW superstar, Jake the Snake Roberts. That's easy for me to say, right, Jake?
It must be, man, because you swallowed something on that one. I know what's wrong. You're just all giddy over the good news I had for you.
Yeah, I certainly am, Jake, and I'm going to go ahead and lay out and let you lay it out to our audience. We got some great news here.
Well, folks, just to let you know, you're going to be looking at me on AEW for another year. That's right. They re-signed me, so that's great news. Looking forward to doing it and hoping that, crossing my fingers, that wouldn't it be something if we started the snake pit back up?
Dude, the snake pit again.
Vision. I would love to talk to Tony about that.
Man, the snake pit on AEW Collision really upped the game there on Saturday. Brother, it's a layup in my mind.
I think so. I'm damn sure going to pitch it. Other than that, we got something else going on.
What's that?
Well, everybody's been on a Jericho cruise.
Mm-hmm.
But have you been on the Jake the Snake Roberts cruise?
A Jake the Snake Roberts cruise?
Yes. That's on the way.
All right.
So, folks, get ready. We're going to take it out there in the middle of the ocean and do what I do.
Guys, Jake the Snake Roberts cruise, we're talking about some live wrestling. I would imagine some live shows, not to mention some access to legendary guys like Jake Roberts and who knows who else. Brother, this 2024 has turned out to be a hell of a year for you.
I'm on fire.
Well, look, we're just going to try to keep your momentum rolling here on the Snake Pit. And, brother, we're doing something fun this week because, of course, it is our 18th edition of a fan favorite, Ask Jake Anything. And, buddy, the fans delivered as they always do.
Oh, boy, what they got for me.
Man, I cannot wait to dig into these. Guys, as always, just a reminder, if we miss yours, just tune in on the next one because I do roll them over episode to episode. And we got a shitload, so there's a strong possibility that your question is in here. Just hang with us. And also hang with us because, Jake, I'm starting the show out with a question for me because I saw a video of you that was unearthed last week. And first thing I thought was, boy, would I like to know the backstory on that. So here we go. It's a look back to March of 1980. Okay, so listen, for our listening audience, that was just music that was playing, but a very young Jake the Snake Roberts came out there in Japan with an awful lot of face paint on. Jake, what was happening there?
Face paint on, yeah, man. It was an idea I came up with for me and Mike Boyette. Mike Boyette was a great friend of mine and one of the best bumpers that ever got in the ring. So we painted our faces up, a la Kiss, and the Japanese loved it, man.
How long were you walking around with that look?
Just that tour.
Now, after doing it and you're getting a good reaction from the Japanese, was there ever a thought like, boy, maybe I ought to bring this back to America with me?
Fuck no, man. That shit ate my face up.
Did it really?
Yeah, I had the wrong kind of paint.
So, like, what did it do to your face? Make you, like, break out or something?
It just burned it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was so bad that they finally told me not to wear it except on television.
So they're like, we know you're suffering from this, so don't do it unless you're going to be on TV. Nice. Well, look, some of the reaction that I saw online was like, holy shit, that's spooky, or oh man, what a cool look. So man, I don't know, the right kind of face paint, we could have seen a very different Jake the Snake Roberts here in America.
You could have, man. Certainly could have.
Wow. Okay. So Kiss was the inspiration. And I'm not sure if you got a good look at that dude who was in the ring there with you. He had a big afro. Who was that guy?
Mike Boyette.
Oh, that was Mike Boyette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And whatever became of Mike Boyette?
He didn't do well, man. He was a great performer in the ring, man, but he was ahead of his time.
Okay. The world just wasn't ready for him yet.
Oh, no, they're still not. He's gone now. He passed away a few years ago, man. I loved the guy, man. He was just, he was out there, but he was out there in a good way.
He had a cool look, and that was another question that I saw online a bunch after that was first posted. Like, who's the dude with the afro? Like, he was, something about him stuck out. So, man, it's sad to hear that things didn't turn out for him.
Yeah.
Well, we can move on. We've got somebody named ProBlaine up next, and they say on the A&E episode about Jake and Savage, people said that Savage got a 104-degree fever from the snake bite. Did Jake hear about that, and did Jake get sick after the cobra bit him?
Fuck no. Jake got a fucking fever, not Savage.
The snake did.
Yeah, the snake got a fever, man. I had to give him some drugs.
Holy shit. So what the hell was Savage on?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that on that documentary, they said like the snake ended up dying or something after
he bit Savage. No, that's bullshit.
Okay, so the snake was okay.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, man. So they're just trying to spice things up a little bit there for TV.
Yeah, they're just crunching numbers, man.
Jake, did you ever have any ill effects whenever a snake would bite you?
No.
Nothing bad ever came of it?
Well, other than the stitches.
Okay.
You know, that wasn't much fun. But no.
Because they say, like, a snake, even once it's been devenomized, there's still, you know, trace amounts of it in there, and that's what can sometimes make people sick. So, I mean, you know, the cobra, I know he bit you in that instance with Savage, where Savage essentially forced you to make it bite you. Yeah. Did it ever just catch you any other time?
No, I used to play with it in the hotel rooms when I got drunk, you know, and I'd put it on the bed, and I'd there'd be two beds, and I'd stick my arm out there, and when he tried to strike me, I'd move it, you know. And every now and then I'd be doing it, and I'd pick up my beer and forget what I was doing, and some bitch would bite me.
You're working on your reflexes a little bit.
Yeah, man, trying to tune them in, dude.
That's good shit, brother. Next up, we've got Charlie, who asks, back when Cena was constantly getting booed because WWE was shoving him down everybody's throats, I always wondered what a wrestler can do in that situation. Are there any tricks to getting people behind you even when they don't want to be?
Just keep being who you are, man. That's all you can do. Me, I would just slow it down enough to piss them off even more.
Okay.
Then after I pissed them off good, they'd be begging me to do something.
See, that's why I included this question, because I was like, I guarantee Jake has got some kind of a trick up his sleeve to get people back on his side.
You just stop doing everything. Fuck you. Just stand there. Finally, they'll say, goddamn, do something. Then they'll start to clap. Once you get them clapping, you got them, bro.
So you're not even talking about a rest hold. You're saying literally just stand there?
Literally stand there in a corner and fucking do nothing. After about a minute or two, they'll start clapping and begging you to do something.
That's why he's the master of psychology, folks. Think about that, because it does make sense on paper, but who would think, like, you know, because you've got an opponent, you've got a match laid out. So I think that most wrestlers would be out there and just be like, well, shit, I gotta do this match. no matter how the audience is reacting. But nope, you're saying you can manipulate them.
Damn straight, man. They're going to go which way I want them to.
Some next level shit there. Jake, did you ever end up having to do that with anybody? You were always over all the time. So did you end up having to do that?
I've done that with some fans.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, in the early years especially, when I was still learning.
Mm. How does your opponent react when you do something like that?
They get flustered and they get anxious. But I just don't let them do anything with me, man. If they come over and attack me, I just hug the ropes.
That is some fascinating shit. Now, like, I find this whole thing really interesting. Once you get backstage, does, like, your opponent in the match say, like, hey, bro, like, what the fuck? I'm trying to work with you.
Well, I'm going to tell him, dude, what happened after I did it?
Mm.
Or not? Yes, we got him. So shut the fuck up and leave me alone.
That's why you want to listen to this podcast, folks. You are not going to hear that anywhere else. That's great shit, Jake. Next up, we've got Cam Heath, who asks, was Jake ever offered a spot as an agent? Would he do it if he was?
I was offered a spot as an agent, and I did it for a while, man, with Vince.
Okay.
I was writing television for him, partly responsible for the Steve Austin era. And certainly helped a lot of other people along their way, including Shawn Michaels.
So now, and that's notable because that's the year that Shawn Michaels was WWF champion and you were helping to create some creative for him. Right. So you were on the creative team, but then you were also helping to agent stuff, which from a novice perspective is like you're helping to lay out matches for guys, right?
Matches for guys and trying to help them with their characters.
Okay, I got you. So it's essentially like you're not telling guys beat by beat, here's what you guys need to do in this match. It's more of like a producer role, right?
Right.
Okay, I got you. Now, did you have to watch anybody urinate like Nick Bockwinkel had to?
No, I didn't get no pecker watching.
son of a bitch. All right, next up we've got Jamie, Just Jamie, who asks, we hear people talk about Barry Windham being a really special talent all the time. What made Barry so special in Jake's opinion?
He was just a great talent, man. He was tall, long, and lanky for a long time. Back when I wrestled him, he was thin. But he can get out there and go, man. All of his stuff is solid. He's exciting. Very exciting.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear your perspective on this. He follows that question up with, if he is such a great in-ring performer and so well-respected among everybody, why didn't he become a bigger star than he was?
He never got the break, man.
Okay.
Plain and simple. He just seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time a lot of the time. And then he finally got with the Horsemen and finally found his niche.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a little bit misleading to say he wasn't a big star. He was a big star, but he never rose to that like main event level. And yeah, it's a interesting question because seriously, anybody you talk to says like, oh, he was incredible, one of the best in-ring performers ever, strong. Would you say he was missing anything? Was it like the promo?
Nope, he missed nothing. His promos were great, but he didn't miss anything.
Just missed the opportunity is what it is.
Yep.
Outback Pepper Jack asks, who was Jake's favorite referee and who was the worst?
Earl Hebner was probably my favorite. Fonzie was one of my favorites.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, who did you dislike having assigned to your match?
Oh, there was a guy back in the day at Mid-Atlantic. I can't remember his name now. Tommy Young.
Tommy Young?
Yes, I hated that guy.
Wow. Okay, that's notable. That's notable because I hear people all the time, like all the JCP guys put him over. A lot of them say he's the greatest referee of all time.
Oh, fuck that.
What was Tommy Young missing in your opinion?
balls.
Just on the outside looking in, it sounds like maybe you may have had a personal issue with Tom Young at some point.
Not really.
No,
I like the guy.
You just didn't care for him as a dude.
Yeah, nothing personal. I mean, what he does off stage and in his bedroom is his business. You know, I don't give a fuck. But I just didn't like the guy for some reason.
Hey, fair enough. Not everybody's going to like everybody in this business. Well, Xavier is up next. Did Jake spend much time around Bobby Eaton or Dennis Condrey? What did he think of them?
They were great. Are you kidding? Midnight Express, brother. Shit, man. Those guys could rock and roll, bro. They could go, man. Ask anybody who's ever watched them, brother. Bobby Eaton was one of the greatest ever to get in the ring.
Man, that Alabama jam he would do off the top rope, that leg drop, just picture perfect every single time.
Every fucking time, man.
And it would look like he killed the guy, but he's like not even touching him.
Nope.
What a great performer. It's weird to think about, Jake, because I try to, you know, I know your career and your career timeline pretty well, and I'm like, when the hell would Jake have been around Bobby Eaton? And I can't think of it.
Oh, yeah, Mid-South.
Oh, okay. They came through Mid-South same time.
Yeah.
All right. Now, what about outside the ring? What'd you think of Bobby and Dennis?
Loved them. Bobby was so fucking funny, man. He was easy to gross out, you know? I used to cough up an oyster and spit it up in the air and try to catch it. And it used to like make him puke. He would puke, man.
Oh, my God. Did you ever hear about the burp and blow story with him and Arn Anderson?
No.
They used to play a game in the car called burp and blow, where one would burp and blow it at the other one. And I guess Arn got him good one time, and Bobby started throwing up, and Arn's going 60 down the highway, and Arn starts throwing up, so they have to pull over.
That sounds about right.
Man, only in pro wrestling, right?
Yeah, man, burp and blow. I got to try that sometime.
Yeah, just
I thought you were going to do a whole different thing than what I was thinking.
Burp and blow is a different kind of game to some folks, I'm sure.
I was quite shocked to hear Arn doing it.
Well, look, if you're going to play burp and blow, just make sure I'm not in the car with you, pal.
Got that right.
Tom Kennard has an interesting one relating to the Montreal Screwjob. How would Jake have handled getting the belt off of Bret Hart instead of the screw job taking place? Seeing as I see it discussed a lot on the wrestling podcast circuit, Jake's a good booker, and I'm keen to see what he would have done to fix the problem.
I would have told Sean to take the fucking belt.
Like shoot on him?
Fucking right. Hook him. All you gotta do is hook him for 3 seconds.
So, interestingly, I'm not sure if you ever heard this. Gerald Briscoe knew that this was going to happen, the Montreal Screwjob. So, he got with Shawn Michaels ahead of time because Bret is a quote-unquote shooter. He knows how to, like, stretch a guy. And so, he got with Shawn, showed him a couple moves in case Bret decided he wanted to attack him following the Screwjob. So, I don't know if I'm super confident that Shawn would be able to hook Bret Hart.
No, I'm not too confident either.
I don't know. There's got to be some good way to get the belt off and without having to go through all that fucking drama.
That was a situation where one guy was scared and the other one was glad.
One was scared, the other was glad.
Yeah.
And now, can you explain that a little bit for our audience?
In other words, one of them was bluffing and the other one was scared, and the one that was bluffing was glad.
I think I'm with you now. All right. Interpret right. That how you want, folks.
Right. Play with it.
There you go. Shit disturber of ad-free shows, Yambag Jones is up next. What's the one element of the business that was better in the territory days as compared to right now?
The matches.
Okay.
The matches were much better in the territory days.
What do you think set them apart?
Well, you couldn't do the same thing every night. You know, you had to change your shit up. All the time.
Mm.
Because you're going to the same towns every week.
So
constantly getting better.
I think you and I discussed before too, the almost like the territories acted as like a training for when you get to the big shows like JCP or WWF at the time, where it's like guys are out there honing their skill, which is exactly what you did for years before you were put on TV.
Exactly.
Uncle Chad is up next, and he asked a couple questions we've already answered about your favorite and best matches, but he follows it up with an interesting one. What match / opponent, if ever, were you the most concerned about working with, and why? Was there ever anybody that you were like, oh boy, I don't want to work with this guy?
Vader.
Okay, so we have heard that one before because he was just rough and didn't control himself, right?
Twice.
Dude, no place for that bullshit in wrestling.
Absolutely none.
And they always say you're supposed to make sure that you're protecting the other guy out there with you, and so he walks away the same way.
Exactly.
The Grim Reaper is up next. Out of your many contemporaries from the 80s, who are some wrestlers that you few don't? Let me try that again because I don't know what the fuck he's saying. That you feel don't get as much recognition as they should for what they did in the business.
Oh, man, that's a very long list.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very long list. You know, the bad thing about this business not being a shoot is there's a lot of guys with a lot of great fucking talent that never get the opportunity simply because they don't get picked. You know, was the Ultimate Warrior a great wrestling champion? Fuck no. You know, I mean, he took somebody's spot, man.
And if it was a shoot, there's no way he would have ever been in that position.
You got that right. There'd probably only be three Samoans in the business. That's it.
Yeah, I think Haku would probably still be champion.
Yep.
All right, next up we've got Yeshua, who asks, everyone asks for a top five all time in the ring, but who's the top five minds in wrestling, whether for in-ring psychology, booking, etc.? Five is a lot. How about just three of them?
Well, I'll give it up. I'll give it up to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Graham.
Okay.
Bill Watts.
Wow. That is not something I was expecting. Bill Watts.
I hate to say it,
but he had some pretty good creative.
He was fairly good.
Okay. Now, Eddie Graham is not a guy that you and I have talked about a lot on here. I would imagine during your time working with Kevin Sullivan in Florida is when you got to know Eddie.
Yeah.
And what was it about Eddie that you felt kind of set him apart?
He could lay out a finish that would be 15 minutes long.
Damn.
I mean, but it was absolutely fucking perfect. You know, and Eddie would lay out a finish, but he wouldn't watch the match.
Really?
He would listen to the match. And he could tell you what was going on by the sounds they were making.
Holy shit.
That's how good he was.
That's like some wrestling prodigy shit.
Oh, brother, he was Yoda.
Now, your relationship with him, I know you weren't in the Florida territory for super long. Were you, like, close with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what about his kids? Close with them?
Not too close with Michael, but fairly good friends.
Okay. It's just, you know, again, almost like the Von Erichs, kind of like tragic family history there, but for a family with such a great lineage. Now, Bill Watts, we're never going to put him over on this podcast, at least not very often, but
yeah,
that no good cocksucking motherfucker, Bill Watts. However, in this instance, let's maybe put him over for a second. What was it about Bill and his booking that you felt was like, okay, well, maybe you don't like the guy, but he is smart.
Well, he came from the Eddie Graham tree.
Okay.
And he had finishes that were long and involved. And they made certain things happen.
So he is like an extension of Eddie Graham. All the things that you'd see from Bill Watts, pretty much straight from Eddie.
Yeah.
All right, next up we've got Durag Vince, who asks, if there was a Mount, boy, there's a lot of these best kind of questions this week. He asks, your Mount Rushmore of talkers, who are the best on the mic? So, Jake, you're on that Mount Rushmore. So
yeah, let's do Dusty, myself. Throw a little flair in there.
Gotta be.
Yeah, that's the top three right there.
So you said yourself, Dusty, Piper, and Flair?
Piper and Flair. Four.
There it is. Our old pal Peter D is up next. Hi, Jake. Can you share any bad experiences you've had with dodgy indie promoters over the years? Have you ever been screwed out of your money?
Absolutely.
I would guess many numerous times.
Four times total.
Wow. Okay. Not as bad as I thought.
No, three times in wrestling and one time in a Comic-Con.
No shit.
Yeah.
So I won't ask you to name any names, but when that happens, I mean, because there's handshake agreements in most of these instances. Like, is there any recourse?
Yeah, you fucking go after them, man. You fucking sue the shit out of them.
Okay. So even though a lot of these, it's nobody signing a contract, you can still get a lawyer on board?
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is they... I had one instance where they wrote me a bad check.
Okay.
And all I had to do was turn that over to the police, man. They took care of it.
Now, you never ended up getting your money, I'd assume, but that guy did get brought to justice, so to speak.
He went to jail.
Good. Good. There's no room for that bullshit.
I can tell you who the name was, too.
Go ahead, lay it on us.
Motherfucker.
Motherfucker. Yeah. We've all met that guy.
Yeah.
All right, next up, we got Prince Jones Official, who asks, what do you think about a lot of vets calling the current product soft? Do you agree? If so, what changes would you make?
Yes, I agree. I'd tell them to slow the fuck down and start selling shit again.
Okay.
Start making it believable.
Now, Jake, when you see like the now, there's a lot of really spectacular things that happen in wrestling today, particularly in AEW. You guys have got some incredible, incredible athletes there. And we see a lot of like diving outside of the ring, tope suicidas, as they call them out. When you think about wrestling and how it's evolved, Jake, do you feel that tope suicidas and this over the top rope shit, is there a place for it if done properly?
Yeah, I think so. I think you make it a finish.
Ah.
You know, make it a fucking finish. Wrestle, wrestle, wrestle. Get your heat, then do your suicide.
The idea being that because you can't pin somebody on the outside, you knock them down on the outside, throw them back in, pinfall.
Or count them out.
Okay. Now, that could be an angle in and of itself, too. You beat enough guys by count out, they'll start saying, like, well, we got to put up a cage around this because this guy keeps winning by count out.
Absolutely.
Simple psychology, boys and girls. Yep. Next up, we've got Stay True Wrestling, who asks, if you could redo one of your feuds from the past, which one would it be, and what would you have done differently?
The Warrior thing.
What would you do differently, knowing what you know now?
I would have just played it out. We didn't get a chance to play it out.
Ah, okay. Well, now, what about that was out of your control. What about anything that was within your control that it's like, fuck, I should have done this instead?
Hmm. Wow. The Savage thing?
Hmm.
It should have went to WrestleMania.
Do you feel that if you had not slapped Liz, that it would have gone to WrestleMania?
I think slapping Liz probably hurt it for longevity. Yeah, I think if I hadn't slapped her, maybe it would have went to WrestleMania. Maybe if I'd slapped her the week before.
Boy, that would be something. And man, it's hard to say like, well, I regret that because you look back on that moment when you slap Liz and brother, that is a pretty iconic moment.
Yeah, it was.
And that promo you gave afterwards, we watched it on episode 1. Holy shit. Go back and listen to that, folks.
Yeah, that's pretty hot.
All right, guys, we will do a few more, and then we're going to wrap this one up. Pink Gold is up next, and they ask, what is the most painful submission hold you have ever been in?
I can't remember the name of the hold, but I remember the guy put me in the hold, and he was fucking hurting me.
And who's I the guy? Up,
Stu Hart.
Yeah.
And I look up, and there's a set of balls. So I just fucking bit them. Fuck, man. I exploded out of that fucking hold. And Stu Hart said, what the fuck did you do? I said, I bit my own fucking balls.
Boy, he must have had you in a real pretzel.
Oh, it was. It was a bitch.
My goodness.
It's amazing how strong you get if you bite your own nuts.
All of a sudden, you just hulk up.
Oh, God, do you ever.
Now, that begs the question, Jake. How'd your balls fall out of your pants?
Stu Hart's amazing.
That is something else.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was not what I was expecting. Let's go to, we'll do two more. We've got Warhorse Blades, who asks, I've been a wrestling fan my whole life. I get it that there must be some cheese, but what was the cheesiest thing you ever had to do on camera? And what was so cheesy that you had to refuse?
Oh God.
If I can put one out there for cheesiest thing you had to do on camera, probably that time you played the fucking trumpet at the Slammies.
Yes. Thank you. I needed that.
Boy, that was something else.
Yeah, because I haven't done many cheese jobs, man.
No. Which is what makes it all the more weird that Vince would ask you to do that. Here's this very serious character that he's had. And it's like this guy who's, your entire reputation is built on. He's not like anybody else. He's right. Very cerebral. He's this guy. And then you're playing a fucking trumpet. It's like, oh, come on.
I as well have been blowing myself.
It may have actually gotten over more.
Probably would have.
Did you ever refuse to do some cheesy shit that you were asked to do?
No.
You're a pro's pro. I can't picture you saying no.
What happens is it might have been cheesy, but by the time I got through with it, it looked right.
Which, by the way, is a thing in wrestling that, from what I've heard, you look at somebody like Akeem, the African Dream. He got handed that very cheesy role, but he fucking owned it, and that's the trick, right?
Absolutely, man. Believe it yourself.
Jake, They Hate Jinx asks, have you ever thought of passing the snake gimmick to Lance Archer? Jake, let me preface this with something. Recently, I was producing an episode of Jeff Jarrett's podcast, and he was asked a question kind of like this that I'd love your opinion on. With WWE owning the intellectual property of the names like The Undertaker, Mankind, etc., do you feel like there's a spot down the road for somebody to reprise that role of The Undertaker, like they do in Mexico when one of their mass performers goes down?
Yeah, I think so.
You think somebody could actually pull it off?
Down the road, man. We're talking 40, 50 years.
Okay, I got you.
Same as Jake the Snake. We're not doing anything new. We're just doing it again and doing it a different way. This shit's been going on for thousands of years, man.
Man, that's a really good point. There's probably seriously nothing new in pro wrestling anymore.
Really new. Vikings were doing it. The Nords were doing it. The Romans were doing it. Fuck, man. Thank God we haven't went back to the Roman days where you're putting lions and shit in the fucking arena.
But yeah, boy.
It'll happen.
What a finish that would be, though.
Yeah, no shit.
This was high stakes. Now, do you think a snake gimmick with Lance Archer would get over, or just like, nope, not yet?
It wouldn't get over because they wouldn't allow him to do it right.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, I mean, they won't even let me do it.
Not they being AEW, but they being the people who oversee television and what.
Right, yeah. Right.
Okay. Well, look, it's a big what if, but there's no what if here on the Snake Pit as to what's coming up next, Jake. On the next episode, we are fast approaching the 35-year anniversary of WrestleMania 5. So, brother, it's been a while since we looked back to 1989. We're going to do that. We're going to talk about all the circumstances surrounding it. And, of course, your big match there with Andre the Giant with Big John Dudd as the referee. So man, I cannot wait to get into that with you, brother.
It'll be fun, man. Again, I appreciate you, and thank you very much for helping me through this.
Oh, man, of course. I appreciate you, Jake, and I'm so glad to hear you're back with AEW for another year, and can't wait to be on that cruise.
Oh, man, everybody get lined up for that cruise, man. It's going to be a blast.
We will keep you guys posted on social media on the status of that, where you can get tickets and everything, but mark your calendars for sometime down the road, the Jake the Snake Roberts cruise. Okay, guys, before we go, I just want to remind you all that if you're looking to attract that 25 to 54-year-old male demographic to your product or service, you've got to hit advertisewithsnake.com. Jake is an absolute legend, and like we said in this episode, he just re-signed with AEW, so he's still on TV. He's out making towns, going to these cons and events, meeting fans, shaking hands. And people listen when Jake says stuff, including when he puts over your product or service. So why not use Jake to get over with that demographic? We routinely advertise for the same businesses because when they advertise with us, they find out that what we do here on the show works. Head to advertisewithsnake.com right now and go get teamed up with the Hall of Famer, Jake the Snake Roberts. JakeTheSnakeShop.com has got all kinds of great collectibles straight from the man himself. Guys, those Sin Bodhi sculptures are absolutely unbelievable. And by the way, there's a finite amount of them. So if you want yours signed by Jake, you've got to get over there and get your hands on it right now. They are going to sell out. So do yourself a favor, go and check it out. And look, find something else on the site. Jake's got a ton of options over there. You've just got to go and have a look. Go right now. It's JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Cameo.com/JakeSnake is your destination if you want a personal message, a promo, birthday wish, roast, or if you just want to say hi to Jake Roberts. Here's a recent review from Anonymous. The video was authentic, personalized, and heartfelt. Thank you again so much. Short and sweet, but a cameo from Jake is not short and sweet. He puts a ton of effort into these. He really cares about his fans, loves hearing from you guys, and loves having the chance to interact. So look, if you're a lifelong fan, you really owe it to yourself to go and check this out. Again, it's cameo.com/JakeSnake. Order yours today. I don't know what the hell is going on with that weather out there. It was warm last week, but right now it is freaking cold up here in Pennsylvania. I don't know where you are, but I do know that you need some awesome merch from the Snake Pit page at boxofgimmicks.com to help keep you warm. How about the awesome vintage style Trust Me hoodie that we've got over there, or the classic Jake Ice Cream Bar sweatshirt, or we've got the new Cruel But Fair design. It's a throwback to Jake's Mid-South days. And it's not just a t-shirt like it was in Mid-South. We've got the hoodie over there. Seriously, go and have a look for yourself at all this awesome stuff. I love vintage style merch. I love the 80s and 90s fashion. And we have really captured that over on the Snake Pit page at Box of Gimmicks. Go and get yourself some really cool looking clothes right now. Check us out on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@snakepitpod for short clips from the show, some highlights, and exclusive content. We are inching closer and closer all the time to that 30,000 follower mark. And by the way, once we hit 30,000, we are far from done. We want to build this thing up year over year and continue to bring you guys incredible entertainment. And I don't want you to miss out on any of the cool stuff over there. Please go and join us. And by the way, we are going to celebrate with a huge giveaway once we hit 30,000 that I can guarantee fans of Jake are going to be absolutely pumped up about. Don't miss out on your chance to win the giveaway. Don't miss all the great content we have on our YouTube page. Get subscribed today. It's youtube.com/@snakepitpod. Speaking of YouTube, if you have not heard about it, I've got to tell you right now, if you like what we're doing here on the Snake Pit, you've got to get subscribed to the Everybody's Got a Pod YouTube page. Not just Ted DiBiase and his podcast over there, but we've also added Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Jim once had a podcast on ad-free shows called The Hacksaw Hour, but we wanted to do more. And so we moved it exclusively to our YouTube page. So look, the first 8 episodes of the Hacksaw Hour are still exclusively on adfreeshows.com. But we've added a lot more over there on the YouTube page. And brother Jim is such a natural podcaster. He's got so much charisma. I think that you guys are really going to love what we're doing there. Plus, Jim is also providing videos of his day-to-day activities. Seriously, go and check it out and subscribe right now. It's youtube.com/@everybodysgotapod. 2 Hall of Famers, 1 page. Come on, you got to go be part of it. Also, if you've enjoyed the Snake Pit, please like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms. Only takes you a couple seconds, and boy, does it do Jake and I a big favor. So please, just take a second, go out of your way, help us out if you're enjoying the podcast. We would really appreciate it. Just a reminder, you can get the Snake Pit and all the other shows in our network early and ad-free at adfreeshows.com, and it just starts at $9 per month. Plus, we're talking about tons of bonus content, hours and hours of stuff that you haven't heard before if you aren't part of the Ad-Free Shows family. Interactive chats with your favorite hosts and wrestling personalities, and much more. Ad-Free Shows has added the new series Beyond Nitro with Guy Evans, the author of the Nitro book. Guy is on AFS providing an even deeper look into the key elements, themes, and stories discussed in that book. And if you're a fan of the Monday Night Wars era of wrestling, you are going to want to check that one out. Plus, I mean, let's talk about Lex Express with Lex Luger exclusively on adfreeshows.com. The Monday Mailbag with Mike Chioda. Enter Sandman with the Sandman from ECW. And how about Tuesdays with the Taskmaster with one of the greatest minds in wrestling history, Kevin Sullivan. Guys, you've got to be part of the Ad-Free Shows community. You are missing out badly if you are not part of it. Get over there right now. Sign up and be part of the Ad-Free Shows family. It's adfreeshows.com. Catch Jake on X at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. Follow me at Marcus P. D'Angelo on X, and you can follow the podcast at SnakePitPod on all social media platforms. Man, what a blast. Jake and I love doing the Ask Jake Anything episodes. I know that he always really looks forward to hearing from you guys, and so do I. And you're going to be hearing from us again next week right here on the Snake Pit.